AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. This show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver, helping you reach your small business dreams and career goals. You can connect with Business on the Edge through our social media channels at Twitter, Business on the ED, LinkedIn at Margaret Jackson, our new Facebook page, Silicon Valley Business Coach, MJ Radio Host, our Facebook group page at On the Edge Women in Business, post your product services, events, motivation, inspirational, political views. We just like to know that you're there, ladies. It's a group for you to make your connections and comments. If you want to connect with me, you can connect with me directly at email at, you can email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz with your questions, comments, or show ideas if you're interested in us talking about something specific. Each week, I like to thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership. We work hard to bring you a great show that inspires your professional development and small business growth. You can always dial into the show and get your questions and comments on the air at 1-800-516-1220. That's 1-800-516-1220. You have to learn the rules of the game, and then you have to play better than anyone else. You have to learn the rules of the game, and then you have to play better than anyone else. That is Sir Albert Einstein. I like that. Learn the rules of the game and play it well. Play it better than everyone else. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Each week I like to do a power question or a power thought, or, you know, I like to, you know, engage your thinking in some fresh and new directions. And this week's power question is really simple. Are you a winner? Are you a winner? You know, are you winning in business? Are you winning as a business owner? And there's so many different types of programs out there that can lend towards acknowledging businesses that are doing well, that are making strides. I often say that, you know, building business is not a magic trick. It is a process. It's thought out. It's vetted out. The infrastructure is put in place, and not all, and I would say more often than not, small businesses are starting with, you know, that grunt capital in their pocket, you know, what they have right on them. And so you have to build that, you know, you have to build that foundation, and it can be very, very difficult. And even with the right support systems, it is very, very difficult to build great businesses. And we want to talk to some great guests tonight that we have from Ernst & Young. And usually I do a little teaching here, and I'm going to forego that this evening just because I want to be able to bring these guests on and talk a little bit about what Ernst & Young are doing with regards to businesses. They have their Entrepreneur of the Year award coming up, and nominations are open, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so we have Ernie Cortez with us this evening, and he is an assurance partner who serves a wide variety of clients, from startup development stage enterprises to leading international organizations. His experience includes leading consultations in over 50 public stock offerings, numerous private placements and mergers and acquisitions, predominantly in the technology sector. Ernie's clients have included some of the best known publicly held market leaders, as well as a number of privately held entities. For the past 7 years, Ernie has served as the program director for the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards in Northern California, meeting with and honoring some of the Bay Area's top entrepreneurs. Ernie, I appreciate you coming on the show with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for having us.
Absolutely. And we also have Joe Musket. He is also an assurance partner at Ernst & Young LLP with 20 years of experience serving clean tech, life science, and technology clients. He also leads EY Strategic Growth Markets team in the West Region. Strategic Growth Partner clients include Russell 2000 companies, private equity funds, high numerous public offerings, collaborations, acquisitions, and private placements. Joe works with clients from their initial incorporation through international expansion and multi-billion dollar revenue performance. Joe is on the Bay Area board of the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, whose mission is to provide programs that inspire young people from low-income communities to stay in school, to recognize business opportunities, and to plan for successful futures. And we love that. Joe, thank you for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate it.
Margaret, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get started. And Ernie, I'm going to start with you. Tell the audience about what is the EY, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award.
Well, thank you again, Margaret. I really appreciate the opportunity. So as Margaret pointed out, I am a partner at the firm and have led this program in Northern California for the last 6 years. And we at EY are very proud of the fact that we're leaders in advising, guiding, and recognizing entrepreneurial companies around the globe. You know, as the program director, I've actually had the honor and privilege of meeting hundreds of entrepreneurs over the years. You know, these are the folks that are disruptors, innovators, you know, some of the most creative people in the Bay Area. So let me tell you a little bit about the EY Entrepreneur of the Year program. So the program is the only competitive awards program in the world for entrepreneurs and leaders of high-growth companies. You know, we started the program to celebrate successful entrepreneurs so that they could share their stories, inspire others, such as you're doing, and receive the recognition that they deserve. EY's Entrepreneur of the Year program is the, again, only global business recognition program, and it now takes place in 145 cities across the world, takes place in more than 60 countries, and is held in 6 continents.
Wow, that is absolutely fantastic. So unfold this for us, this program.
I'm sorry, Margaret, what was the question?
I'm sorry, I said, so unfold this program for us. So you started with wanting to recognize companies, and so is there a specific type of company? So unfold that a little bit for us, for our audience.
Certainly, happy to do so. So the program is in its 29th year of existence, started in one program in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and over time, because of the great need to have and honor entrepreneurs, is now again in over 60 countries. The program itself starts with a regional program, which is Northern California for us, one of 25 programs across the United States. And companies compete at a regional level for the opportunity to then compete at a national level. And all of the various EOY winners at the regional levels come together at the national competition with the hopes of winning the opportunity to then go to the world competition, which takes place in Monte Carlo, to compete against the winners of the 60 other countries around the globe for the title of World Entrepreneur of the Year.
You know, I started the show with mentioning that business development is just not simplistic. You know, and I've seen a lot of businesses, you know, sometimes people are laid off and they start businesses because they need to do something or they're having difficulty finding work. But building a business and building a business that is recognized by an Ernst & Young, you know, with the Entrepreneur of the Year, are there some things that and Joe, you can jump in on this if you'd like. But is there things that earn these potentially to compete for the EY of the Year Award?
So I'll let Joe jump in here shortly. So let me maybe start with who is eligible to be in the program, because your listeners certainly should have an interest in that, given that the deadline for nominations in Northern California ends March 6th, a very important date in order to be in the competition. But the individuals that will be eligible for this award would be owners, CEOs, maybe founders, people that have been heavily influencing their organizations for at least the past 2 years, and because, as you can imagine, the Valley is a very competitive place for this set of awards, we recommend that companies have $5 million in revenue or more before entering the competition. And we do waive that for life science companies and clean tech companies because of the duration that it sometimes takes before they generate revenues. So anyone that meets that criteria, again, an owner or a CEO or a founder, somebody that's significantly influencing the business for at least the past 2 years of the company and has $5 million in revenue, unless it's life science or clean tech, would be an eligible company to be part of this competition.
Okay, so when you say $5 million in revenue, now is there a certain amount of time other than the 2 years that, say, the business, and it looks like that this is more than just small businesses. This is any entrepreneurs. Are these just limited to startups you've been in business for the last 2 years, or is there some sort of timeline that's, maybe they've been in business for 10 years. So what is that? Is there a timeline there for?
Absolutely. Great question, Margaret. So there is no timeline other than the minimum 2 years. So in this competition, you can have companies that are very much the traditional startups 2 years in, to companies that have been around 100 years. The key here is that the award is honoring the entrepreneur. And that's a key thing. Again, not the manager of the year, but the entrepreneur of the year. So anyone that's at a company that at least, again, has been there for at least 2 years, that is showing things that are entrepreneurial would be eligible. And those companies would be eligible no matter what the age, no matter what the size, no matter whether they're private or public, they would be eligible. The key, again, is to have an entrepreneur who's doing things for the company that shows his entrepreneurial spirit.
Well, that opens the door for many companies to kind of jump in, especially in Silicon Valley with all the technology. For one, that's the first thing, of course, that comes to mind. But I'm gonna pause you right there for a moment, Ernie, and I'd like Joe to kind of jump in and share a little bit about your role at Ernst & Young and how what you do impacts the EY, EY award. We got about a minute before we go to a commercial break.
Sure, Margaret, happy to do that. And you're right, the EY program is a really important piece of what Ernie described at the beginning, which is our leadership in advising, guiding, and recognizing entrepreneurs. And, that's really the recognition part of it. But when we step back and we talk to these entrepreneurs over the past three decades about, what made them successful and what do they need to get to the next level to be real market leaders in their field, it keeps coming back to the network. Right? What kind of a network can you help me, the entrepreneur, assemble? Who are you connected with? And how might I interact with both your professionals who have real domain experience to help address a problem or to provide some confidence around financial results? Sure. And then how do the network help the entrepreneur sort of build their businesses? So that's a real big part of what we do as part of our strategic growth markets team. And as you can imagine, the entrepreneurs who are at the center of the awards program.
I'm going to stop you right there. I appreciate that. We're going to come back to that, Joe. We're going to go to a break, and I want to hear more about that. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on Edge with Margaret Jackson. Early Learning Preschool is now enrolling ages 2 to 6 years old. Benefits of Early Learning Preschool includes flexible programs at affordable rates. They're preparing the early learnings for that big step into elementary school. And this school is in North Valley, San Jose, so if you are in that area, you want to connect with Early Learning Preschool, you can connect with their website at www.elpreschool.com or call them at 408-937-1545. That's 408-937-1545. They have a diverse community. They drop off, they pick up, they help your children with their homework, so that way you have that comfortable evening at home in relaxing with your family. So again, that's Early Learning Preschool is now enrolling ages 2 to 6 years old. And again, www.elpreschool.com. We're back talking to Ernst & Young, and we left the last segment. We kind of had to cut Joe Musket a little short in with regards to what he was sharing. But we're talking about the Ernst & Young entrepreneurship. And Joe, you were talking about that when you talk to these entrepreneurs, that it came back to the network, and I like to call it the ecosystem that you develop around your business to really get it to move in the right direction and to grow. And we know that you just cannot grow a business by yourself on your own without having a system around you.
You know, that ecosystem is a great term, and it's one we actually use quite a bit around, you know, whether it be the network of people, resources, insights, information. All of those pieces of the ecosystem are critically important to building a business.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you so much. And just so Ernie and Joe, you know a little bit about what we're trying to give out here to our audience. We have so many small businesses and startups that are getting out there and trying to build that business. And I want you to kind of confirm something for me. You know, sometimes, you know, when you go to your children and you're trying to tell them, hey, you know, don't do that because that's not going to end well. And of course, as a parent, they're like, well, you're just a parent, but someone else has to say it. And although, you know, our listeners appreciate what we're saying, but I always like to have these little confirmations. And for small businesses, for any business, there just aren't any shortcuts to real business development. Would you agree with that?
You know, I completely agree with the whole idea of, you know, you really need to know the rules of the game. And you've got to be fully engaged, you know, in running your business. There aren't any shortcuts, you know, but there are ways to get leverage.
Sure.
And I think that's what you were describing in the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have actually a tool we've developed, you know, working with these entrepreneurs for the past 30 years and even for years that preceded the program, we developed a growth navigator model, and it's really all about helping entrepreneurs build a successful and sustainable growth strategy.
Oh, I like that word navigator, and I'm going to come back to that because I'm going to bounce back between you and Ernie, and the reason I'm doing this, and for those that are listening tonight, it's a program that is absolutely fantastic, and you can go to the ey.com website and certainly learn more information. And just like Joe says, the cutoff date to get your nomination in, and you can nominate yourself, don't be shy, is March 6th. But there's two things that are happening here tonight, and that is informing you about the Ernst & Young Awards, and then informing you about the road to achieving this type of award, in talking to, you know, these are history makers and world changers that can help you if you're listening to what they're saying, that will get you pointed in the right direction. There are no shortcuts. You are going to have to pay a cost for that, for successful business to be developed. You have to have the infrastructures. You have to do the things that counts, that really develops a business. And so, Joe, I want to ask you before we go to a break, how does someone get nominated for, you know, other than they can nominate themselves? Is there some other ways that are people secretly nominating people, or how does that work?
Sure. Well, there's no secrets, and it's definitely, again, about people in your network who recognize maybe what you, the entrepreneur, are doing, or if you're someone in the ecosystem, someone who's a banker working with these entrepreneurs, or an attorney, or someone in a community leader who recognizes some real incredible value that the entrepreneur is providing to their organization, to their team, to their community. we welcome all of those people to nominate the entrepreneur for the award.
That's awesome. We're going to go to a break. More with Ernst & Young when we come back. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Berry's business leader.
Now, back to Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are talking to Ernst & Young, and I am really, really enjoying this conversation and hate that we don't have so much more time. Ernie, I want to circle back to you. This is Ernie Cortez, who is assurance partner at Ernst & Young. Why should someone participate in the Entrepreneur of the Year program?
This is an award that has been won by, you know, the likes of Reid Hoffman and Jeff Weiner from LinkedIn and the team from Google and Starbucks. So it has been won by a lot of big names, and it hasn't always been won by them when they were big names. This award often identifies companies much earlier than they become the household names of today. But the award winners get different things out of it. And over the time, we've come across, I'd say, some key things that each and every one of them has kind of sparked up as saying why they participate in the program. There are many lists that exist in the world, but the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards is the first, and it's the only global business competition. So, again, there's the reward that comes with that. And then also, you know, having, again, worked with these entrepreneurs for almost 30 years now in the program, it's really the only place that the CEOs themselves get to tell their stories. You often hear the stories that have to be out in the public, but this actually gives them an opportunity to share the story of where their companies came from, what they overcame. And again, that's something that they don't often get a chance to talk about. And the other things that they mentioned to us also is that, you know, by winning this award, that it's boosted the company pride. You can imagine that it's increased their visibility in the communities that they compete in. And again, the award is recognized around the globe as a prestigious award to win and, you know, a validation of entrepreneurial success. So those are a number of the things that they get from it. I think once they actually go through the process, the other thing that they will tell you, and to touch on your point and Joe's, you know, that they've been able to make significant business connections, again, with people outside of their own industries, since this is open to anyone and everyone. And as a result, Margaret, there's been a number of times where companies that have gone through our process have expanded into new markets because of those relationships, or they've even, in some cases, made connections to others that eventually, you know, buy their businesses. So certainly the relationship aspect is a piece, but it's also the pride for their employees, the pride for the entrepreneur themselves, and the prestige that comes with being part of a global program.
Sure, sure. This is rich information. And so with that, What does the judges look for? What are they looking for in these businesses?
Yeah, so the judges themselves are independent of Ernst & Young. They are made up of people from the community. This includes CEOs, former award recipients, educators, business and community leaders, people from the venture capital community, the private equity community. So it really is an independent panel of judges that makes the ultimate decisions. And when we go through and evaluate the candidates, or they go through and evaluate the candidates, they are looking for really six criteria. And those criteria can entrepreneurial spirit, financial performance of the company that they're leading, their strategic direction. They are really interested in seeing where they're planning on taking the company. Their involvement in the community, again, a very big part of what they evaluate is, you know, are they making a difference in their community and on the globe? They're interested in the innovation of the entrepreneur and, of course, the personal integrity and influence. So those are the six aspects for which the judges take into consideration. And in this process, the judges actually interview, and EY interviews every one of the semifinalists in this competition. So the individuals that are put up for these awards actually go through two formal interviews as part of the competition.
Wow. Now, listen out there, those that are tuning in tonight, he's giving you the six criteria for you to work on in order to become a candidate for such a great award. And so I've got some other hot questions I want to ask Ernst & Young when we come back from this break. AM, stay tuned in. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
Thanks for listening to Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are talking to Ernst & Young about their prestigious award, the Ernst & Young Award. I want to make sure that we're pronouncing that correctly. By the way, Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and those that are listening around the globe, it is not Ernest, it is Ernst & Young. Now, here's a question. I kind of bang my head up against the wall when I'm dealing with some of the small businesses in the thought process in developing business. And SBA tells us that 10 to 12% of small businesses, we see those deaths each year. So that's about 380,000 businesses across the United States. And Joe, I hear both your thoughts on this, but I have my ideas in terms of why I believe these business deaths are happening, you know, so they're not even on the radar to be able to compete for Ernst & Young Award. What would you say possibly what these businesses may be doing wrong with regards to developing their business?
Well, Margaret, you know, the opportunities that these businesses are oftentimes pursuing, you know, change rapidly, particularly here in Silicon Valley. You know, we've seen that over just the last decade, you know, the volatility of our economy here, and we're certainly on an incredible upswing that we're in on right now. But, you know, one of the things that we talk to entrepreneurs about a lot is this idea of a sustainable growth strategy, something to avoid hitting one of those air pockets, if you will, that could cause, you know, unnecessary turbulence. And so, you know, we've kind of boiled it down to seven factors that we think, you know, if entrepreneurs stay focused on that, they really have a better chance to succeed.
Okay, so what are those seven factors?
So the seven we focus in on is, you know, starts with the customer. Right, really understanding what's the customer need, what's that market opportunity that you're pursuing. The second piece is people and culture. Right, what are you trying to do in your organization? What are the right kinds of people to have in the organization, and what are the right places for those people to be? You know, how are you using technology? You know, particularly in today's digital environment, how has that been integrated into what you're doing? How you're marketing yourself, how you're leveraging your network, how you're connecting with customers, getting feedback. The fourth is operations. So just, you know, that's every day blocking and tackling. It's making sure you're delivering on the promises that you made to your customers and to your investors and your other stakeholders. Next is funding and finance, really making sure that you've got the capital base. And in many times that's, you know, just sweat equity. But that might mean having enough time for a small business to succeed, because too often without that resource, you know, you kind of suffocate the business. And then the last two are, you know, really thinking about what sorts of transactions and alliances you can do, and then how are you going to mitigate risk, right? How are you going to deal with the unexpected? And so when we put all seven of those together, you know, we think if you've thought about all of them, you've got a pretty reasonable shot at being sustainable. And that's, I think, you know, I think it's when you're missing some of those sometimes that you have those air pockets you just described.
Sure, sure. And Ernie, we're going to go to a break here in just a second. And I want you to kind of weigh in on this. And I think it's important. And the reason why it's important, at least from my perspective, is I'm working with the businesses that that no one else is looking at. So there's a group that, you know, that's kind of being bypassed. And if we can help them develop the right strategies, then they can possibly become a candidate for the Ernst & Young Award. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have Ernie Cortez weigh in on this as well. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. And we ended the last segment a little early just because I wanted to make sure that Ernie Cortez could weigh in on his insight on best practices. We've got from Joe Musket the seven factors that Ernst & Young has looked at in terms of areas that businesses should focus on, or if they're looking at these seven areas, they have a better opportunity to develop a strong, sustainable business. And Ernie, so what's your way in on that in terms of businesses? And I'm going to share a few of my thoughts once you're finished in regards to some of the things that I see with regards to these early business entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so thanks, Margaret. So again, I think Joe covered obviously the seven steps, and having gone through, we interviewed a number of years back entrepreneurs that participated in our program just to understand from them. And as you can imagine, although we're talking to a lot of successful entrepreneurs, many of them had failures before they had successes.
Sure.
And so, you know, when we talked to them about the things that they, you know, they did stumble on from time to time, there were two or three key things. One was, again, building the networks, making sure that they are out there as often as they can be with the right set of people, making sure that they're having the meetings that they need to have to build the relationships. A second thing that was often mentioned was, again, putting the right management team or people around them. Oftentimes in conversations, it would be the need to get those folks on earlier than later, and the failure to do so sometimes, you know, costing them. And then, again, the thing that I think gets reiterated a lot is making sure you absolutely understand your customer and your customer market. It doesn't do you any good to believe that you have the best tool in the shed when nobody wants the tool, when sometimes the right. entrepreneur shared with us that they would get caught up with what they had invented versus, you know, what the need was from their customer base.
Sure, sure, sure. I love this because you're really talking about some of the same things that we as business coaches that are out here, you know, we're not in the business to just sit down with some company and, you know, and talk about some of the things that you're talking about here. Oftentimes what we see is that, you know, the cost of using coaches that really want to see, and I would say across the board, but to really see businesses proceed in a smart strategy. You know, I talk about business models. I've seen that many businesses early on do not even understand the concept of a business model, let alone doing a business plan. And then that's a whole nother kind of can of worms. But what's great about a business plan and understanding your business model is that it unfolds your customers. It unfolds exactly some of the things that all seven steps of what you have in here can be found in a business plan, a well-written business plan. And so I just think, excuse me, that what you're sharing tonight is absolutely fantastic. And if you want an opportunity to participate in the Ernst & Young Award, Entrepreneur of the Year, again, that is the deadline is March 6th. That's correct. And that there's no limitation in terms of other than 2 years that you could be in business, which is fantastic. That opens the door for many, many of you, of those entrepreneurs out there. And let me ask you this, Ernie, what is the state of entrepreneurship in the Bay Area? What do you guys see that as? And you can both kind of weigh in on that.
Well, I think it's probably as good as it's ever been. I mean, the excitement, the number of young entrepreneurial companies that we see. We're obviously very blessed to be in the location that we are in, but even during the down times, I would say that entrepreneurism never dies here in the Bay Area, and I would say in the good times, it's certainly on a bigger upswing.
Yeah, I completely agree with Ernie. I mean, we are in a very interesting renaissance period right now.
Sure.
You know, apps and life science technology, and then you know, just the infrastructure to support us in the Bay Area. I just think there are a world of opportunities.
You know, that's exciting. And so do you see any kind of movements in terms of women in business? We're certainly seeing the younger generation come up and more entrepreneurship coming out of our young people, our young teens, our 19, 20, 21-year-olds, you know, these young entrepreneurs that are starting companies. But are you seeing some trend with maybe women entrepreneurship here in the Bay Area?
You know, we certainly are, and we actually have a program. It's a network, in effect, for women entrepreneurs. It's the Entrepreneurial Winning Women Program. And we set it up about 6 years ago to do the things we've just been talking about on this call, which is really to provide some infrastructure and support to women entrepreneurs to really see if we can help catalyze, you know, their businesses and their ideas. And we've had, you know, great success with it.
So that's out there for you women. We are excited because I do believe that women are on the rise, Ernie and Joe, and that there's just this award is so exciting. I had an opportunity to go to the reception a couple of weeks back with the new mayor of San Jose, Sam Liccardo. And is there anything else that we can share with our audience that you think is important to this award, Ernie, having led it for the last 6 years?
Yeah, so again, just to reiterate the benefits that people get for going through the program, and again, an understanding that even the most revered entrepreneurs have an appetite to want to win it. And, sure. And just to add on to Joe's Entrepreneur Winning Women, that is a separate program that does run from April through June, and it is eligibility for that program is a women-owned business, so 51% owned by a woman. In a revenue scale of roughly $1 million to $10 million. And as Joe pointed out, what we do is try to create the ecosystem around those companies to help them go to the next level. There's no lack of women entrepreneurs right now. It's obviously the need to help them scale their businesses the way that traditional businesses have scaled.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And good luck to you out there. And get to ey.com and get in that nomination process. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader. Have a great weekend.